finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
Hello, family. This is your cousin, your brother, whoever I am to you. This is Seth, and I want to welcome everybody to the premiere of this show. This is have been a thought of mine, a dream of mine, that we have our own blog talk show, and that we be able to hook up family from all over by simply calling the 1-800 number. Well, it's not 800 number, but calling the phone line and or calling the phone line. There's two different numbers out there. So anyway, calling one of those numbers and being able to listen on the cell phone to your cousins and brothers and mothers and fathers and whoever else is listening all over. So I just want to thank everybody for giving this a shot and making this happen. Y'all got to bear with me because it's a couple things I'm trying to do here. Audio technical difficulties always seem to happen whenever I start these shows. I do some shows personally on my own, and this is just an extension of that. But anyway, I thank everybody for stopping by. And again, we're going to be calling this show the Booker Family and Friends News and Information Line. And I wanted to make sure I include News and Information Line because that's pretty much all it is. It's a show where we update each other, where we keep each other on top of what's going on around the family, because this family has gotten so big where it's just impossible to keep up with everybody. So I thought of a way that we can all just once a week for a couple hours listen to what's going on. We can do things like listen to if there's birthdays, anniversaries, or if there's special messages that someone want to get out to everybody, like I say, news and information. Sometimes family have emergency meetings we need to have. Sometimes family want to get out to other family members that there's jobs, openings, or career opportunities. Sometimes people just want to hang somewhere. They want to just get together and go to the movies, and they want to deal with family. So this is an opportunity for the family to come together and do these various things. There is no limit. I mean, I named a few things, but there's anything y'all can think of that we need to do and that you want to tell your brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and aunts all over. Now, I do want to apologize before I say too much more to those that didn't hear about this, because I couldn't call a lot of people like Aunt Robbie, Aunt Naomi. I kept thinking to call them, and I should have called them first. I agree. I know what some of y'all are saying. But what my strategy was, if I can get all of her grandkids messages via emails and Facebook, that they would in turn convey. And I did send it in the message to tell everybody that's not online. So that's my philosophy for doing that. But I do have a life outside of blogging. And so I just got off of work and had to lay down for hours just to kind of catch my breath. And so didn't get a chance to call a lot of people. But anyway, we're going to go on with the show. Again, hopefully y'all did what I asked you, and that was to let people know that don't have internet. Okay, so hopefully y'all did that. But again, welcome to the premiere episode of, again, Book of Family and Friends News and Information Line. This is a private show. You have got to, if you're listening, if you're under the sound of my voice, if you listen to this show, you have got to go to the link that's on my Facebook page. It's too long for me to read out. So you have to go to my Facebook page, and it should be the first message on my Facebook. You have to go there and click on that link, and it'll bring you to the location where we're at online, and that way y'all can type and chat within the chat room and listen from your computer. Otherwise, you have to call the 760 number. And of course, y'all should have it. Otherwise, you won't be able to even listen to what I'm saying. But anyway, anybody that is listening on one of the other lines, this line I'm talking about is 760-283-0838. If you want another phone number to link up with us, again, 760-283-0838. So tonight the show is going to go from 9 to 11, and we're going to do a few things on this show. It is new, and really my goal is for everybody to be involved. So this show is kind of going to have to be, you know, unfortunately you got to have a first show. And so with this show, a lot of people won't be involved calling in saying happy birthday, happy anniversary, or hey, we're meeting over here. Hey, we meeting over there, or did y'all know that they're hiring over here? Here's where you need to go, or prayer request, or just anything again you can think of that your brothers and sisters and cousins need to know on the other side of town. So that is not happening today, obviously, because this is the first show. And just while I'm at it, I am looking for people to host this. I mean, literally host this, do everything I'm doing right now, and I'll be a call-in person. I mean, that's what I like to do. I mean, I like to be able to just call in. So this is, it's not hard, but, you know, you just have to just do a lot of talking, and I don't mind doing that, but I don't want to do it every single episode because this is not my thing. I keep stressing. This is not my thing. Somebody got to start something. Otherwise, we'll be all sitting around looking at each other. That's the way it works. Then somebody has to start something. Then you need family to help it, keep it going. So I encourage everybody listening to this show, or that's listening to it, to the show after it ends in the archives, because this show will be available to listen to after it goes off in our archives. And those of y'all listening to me, on the sound of my voice, it's very simple how you get to the archives. You simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/5, then _smooth_stones. That's 5_smooth_stones. When you get there, just simply scroll down previous broadcast, and you should be able to see this. It'll be available probably about no more than 30 minutes after the show. So, again, if you want to listen to the show a little later on, again, you can do that. Not a problem. Just follow what I said earlier, and that is blogtalkradio.com. And just go to the bottom, .com/5_smooth_stones. Again, this is not something of my thing. This is our thing. I just, you know, so many times you talk to family, they you feel like, you know, other family ain't thinking about them, but it's just not that. It's just that it's so, family's now so big, it's just hard to call everybody. So this is a blog where it happens once a week, hopefully with different people hosting it, where we'll be able to hear different things going on every week. Okay? So tonight, well, later on, I'm going to be playing a couple of different things. We're going to do Uncle Bud, Caleb Booker is going to be featured in what we call Spotlight on an Elder. This is when we actually, every single week, we'll spotlight an elder. We'll spotlight someone that's in the family that is an elder and give them an opportunity to talk and share about what's going on with them, what they want to tell the family, if anything. And everybody can listen, live to them. Now, if for some reason you can't make the show, then you simply can listen to it again through the archives. And how we do that? Again, you go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Move down to previous episodes. Look till you see Book of Family and Friends, News and Information Line, and just listen. So every single week, my goal is to be able to feature every person in his family that's over, I'd say, I don't know, the oldest on down. How about that? The oldest on down. So we'll say everybody over 60, oldest on down. Not in that order, but I'm just saying we want to definitely make sure we hear the elders. So after we went through the whole family, we'll just probably repeat because we need to hear from the elders. Well, I don't know, whatever y'all want to do, we can all talk about this on the show. But for sure, starting out, we want to interview people like Aunt Robbie, Aunt Naomi, and Verna May and Bud Dwight. For sure, just for starts. And then also on the Douglas side, on the Booker side, people like Dorothy Jean for sure. And just anybody else. I don't want to go to missing names and forget somebody and they start thinking I ain't thinking about it. That's another thing that's kind of challenging for the show because you got to make sure you don't forget people, just like I didn't get a chance to let Naomi and Robin up. But y'all got to know my heart for sure. They are invited and this is for all family members. I promise you, this ain't got nothing to do with me or Irene, kids. This is our thing. If y'all go there and start thinking like that, it will fall on its face and we won't even get off the ground. So we need something that's for all of the aunts and uncles and cousins and Douglas is, I keep saying it's wrong, and I apologize. Here goes my first mistake right here. See, when I do this show, normally I have the notes up in front of me, and I call myself, well, I can do it without the notes. Well, no, I can't, because I just made a major, major, major mistake, and that is with the name of the show. It's actually the Booker Douglas, Family and Friends News and Information Line. So I stand corrected. Okay, I stand corrected because we definitely want to get the Douglas in there, all right? So we're going to have different parts of the family come on, talking to the elders, like I said, on the Booker side, Douglas side, everybody. And I got my notes in front of me now, so that won't happen again. It's clear as day, Booker, Douglas, Family, and Friends, if I would just look down at the notes. So anyway, when we say News and Information Line, again, I gave y'all some examples, but it's not limited to those things I said. Anything you come across in the week that you want your family to know when Sunday rolls around, write it down, call a show, or you can email me, or you can post it on my Facebook and say, Seth, make sure you mention this, or whoever is going to be hosting. Like on Sundays, we'll tell you next week is going to be hosted by blah, blah. I know Donald Jr. got a hold of me, and he wanted to be involved in some kind of way I hadn't heard from him, so hopefully he's still interested. But, folks, anyway, I just want to thank everybody again for your time. And let me just see what's going on here, because I know we had the chat room open. Let me see if anybody came. So we got a few people in the chat room, and I'm going to give you all some more time to come. I'm going to go ahead and play this, play a little music to give everybody time to get themselves together, and then we'll be back and start the show. Tonight, again, we're going to be spotlighting Uncle Bud, Kayla Booker, Azalee Booker, oldest son. Yeah, everybody know who Azalee is, right? That's my mother's mother. That's Aunt Robbie's mother. That's Aunt Naomi's mother. That's Verna Mae's mother. That's Caleb Booker and Dwight's mother. That's her oldest son, okay? Caleb Booker is her oldest son. And somebody said, or somebody may be thinking, why did you pick Caleb, Uncle Bud, to interview first, just out of curiosity? The reason why I picked Uncle Bud first is because he's been away. You know, he's lived in California, and he's been doing some things up there. And I just wanted to just tell us a little bit about what's been happening up there and just what's been happening with him and anything he has to tell a family. And remember, we want to, this is all about news and information, but we also want to keep it positive and upbeat. And we don't want to hear about nothing going on that's going to depress, okay? This is the rules of engagement with, everybody got to have rules on any show or any type of program. You always got to have your rules and your limits. So I want to lay the foundation if we can. I'm not trying to be bossy or anything like that, but I just know that certain rules you got to have when you have these call-in shows where people just get to talking freely. We want to keep it upbeat, positive, you know, something that we can go, wow, I didn't know that, you know, be it a job interview, job posting, or some career move, or we just want to hear something uplifting. The family and all families are in need of being uplifted, so that's all this show is designed to do, is be uplifting. We don't mind little jokes here and there. That's cool too, long as they're clean. So y'all can call in with anything you want to present to the family, you know. Maybe later on, once we get this thing rolling and we get good at it and we flowing, maybe we can look at, you know, maybe calling in and give some critiques or something like that. But right now, I can't even go there. I just want to keep it all positive, upbeat. That's all I can think of right now. And I'm sure some of y'all would say, I agree with that. So anyway, I love this family, you know, and it's the only family I have. I want to see it succeed. And I just know that we keep hearing the same things. Nobody call me and nobody come around. And I think this is just an idea, and one idea. I'm sure y'all got probably a whole lot more, a lot better and wiser. You probably can think of better ways to do this show. And that's another thing I'm open up to. If y'all get some suggestions about how to do this show that will be more effective, let me know. Call me, email me, leave a message on Facebook, and let me know how to do better. We definitely want it to get better. We want people to get involved. The other side is, if we don't get people involved, and I find myself talking to myself on this phone line, which I don't like doing. I'm used to doing these blogs. I'm used to lots of people listening. And so if I can get my own family to back it up and listen and get involved, then think about it. Why should we even have it? We don't have to have a blog. We don't. We really don't. We do communicate now, email, and so we can just continue doing that, okay? I won't be bitter or nothing. Well, I ain't going to say that. I probably would be, seeing that my family was not wanting to make this happen. I think I probably would have an attitude, but I'm not going to go there. We're going to give it a chance. We're going to give it a shot. We're going to make it happen. Hopefully y'all call in with your suggestions, with your just the different things you want to say. Again, birthday wishes, anniversaries, house parties, meetings, you know. Sometimes people just want to get together and go somewhere and look at a movie that just come out. We need to know about sick and shut-ins. Who is sick and who's shut-in? Who need prayer requests? You know, is there anybody who's trying to advertise a business? You know, there's some. I know my other shows, I have people that want to promote stuff. Some people want to promote. They say, hey, can I come on your show? I don't charge people. It ain't, because this is a family thing, but if you want to come on and talk about some business you're doing and you want to get people involved, that's fine. Not a problem. This is family. You can just call and say, hey, I got this going on, and I want to just let everybody know this is how you get involved. You can do that. That's exactly what this show, Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, Booker Family and Friends News and Information Line. This is what this is all about. I just can't wait to. We've been doing this for a year or two. I'm telling you, it's going to really be a success if we just make it happen, because we need this, folks. You know, I know with Irene Branch, you know, Irene is my mother. Some of y'all know that. All of y'all should know that. But I know even in our family, it's hard to call everybody, you know, and sometimes folks just don't understand that. They think you're supposed to be on the phone every day talking to them. But even in our branch of the family, it's just too many people. It's a lot. It's a challenge. You know, when you got your own life, you got your own stuff going on. And not to mention, if you start trying to call your cousins, and it's just too big of a family. Then I'm learning other family members on the Booker side, on the Douglas side. We got people all in Missouri and people in California. And you want to be in touch with these people. So, hey. We have a blog. All you got to do is simply call this number and just listen. You can be on the road, put us on speaker. You can go to your computer and chat and type and send us links to your business or links to whatever you're doing or something interesting or knowledge or something we need to know, or maybe you want to send us a link to a good message. That is totally, totally fine. Not a problem. That's exactly what this is for, and that's exactly what my goal is. That I have no other ulterior motive than to see family come together. Because I know when y'all come together, some of y'all are so much more sharp than I am in some areas, and you'll think of other stuff we can do. You'll think of other things we can do. Maybe we can get this going. Maybe we can get that going. So this is just something to get started, okay? But let me do this. Let me go ahead and I want to just do a few things. And so I want to play a little song here, just something to kind of motivate the atmosphere. And then we'll be back with, I don't want to tell you all the things that's happened, but I'll just share this with you. Dorothy Jean, is going to do a presentation. She's at church right now. Literally, she couldn't make the show, but she did an audio presentation. We're going to listen to her talk about who's who in the family. And it's very interesting. I think it's very, very interesting. So when we come back, we'll listen to her. And later on, bring on Kayla Booker, okay? So check this out. We'll be right back.
We all have overcome. it out, y'all.
I've been counting my lies.
I'm tired and I wanna give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why's the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now.
Always
survive. If you're a survivor, get up.
Let's get it.
Rapping, I don't mind, it ain't my cup of tea, but somebody in the family might enjoy it a whole lot better than I do, especially if you're keeping it clean and uplifting, because that's what it's all about. The only thing we're going to do, folks. So anyway, I definitely really want to get family involved with entertainment aspect of it. It can be poem writing or what's the word I'm trying to think of when they just the young people do when they anyway, just whatever you have for the family, we're willing to let you do your thing. You can just send us an audio clip, or we can talk about how you get up go on the show's the desktop or dashboard here, this little program I'm operating here. We'll talk about how to get that. But anyway, so right now, before I get into what the presentation that Dorothy Jean has to let everybody know who's who, because I feel like, how can you talk about family if nobody know who's who? So that's why I had asked her to, because we had talked actually to go back to Wesley Chapel. The last event we had, Aunt Robbie had her, had our family thing at Wesley Chapel, and I spoke with Dorothy. I have to bear with me. I know I may be a little bit tired, but I did just get off work, but I'm still up for the show. But Dorothy Jean was talking with me about different members in the family, things I didn't know, and she's not the only one to know about the family. I know that, true. But she was the one I was talking to, so she seemed interested. That's what brought her to my mind, and I called and asked if she would do the whole thing. But I'm sure once Aunt Robbie, if she's willing to come on the show and participate, she got probably the same or more information. So we got elders that know all type of history, and I'm very much interested in what's going on. Let me just say this, because I really, and I guess this is kind of a good thing I can do a little bit more talking, and then in the future, because hopefully y'all will be calling in saying, "Hey, Seth, just want to let everybody know that this week is going to be blah, blah, blah." Hopefully my goal is to have so much of that going on that I don't even talk much. I really wish that happened. People calling in, like I said, wishing birthdays and whatever. But I just want to say this. You know, I know that in every single family, it's not just our family, but in every family, you always got people that this civil, I think it's called, is actually a name called civil rivalry. And I just want to, you know, I believe in spiritual warfare, and many of y'all do too, and that's another thing. And this ain't going to be a talk show where people preach. Okay, so I'm not about to preach to y'all or try to preach to y'all on spiritual warfare. But I'm just saying, I know it exists. And in this family, we need to just declare war against the enemy that's trying to divide families all across the planet and not let that particular spirit raise its head up in our family. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about, because it's everywhere. All families go through it. I look at family like this. If somebody in this family is blessed with anything, talent, resources, that's still mine, because we family. That's the way I look at it. It's still something I can enjoy. So I wish, hope, pray that each and every one of you get to enjoy whatever it is the Most High have for you, because what He has for you is for you. And I just hope that we all have that same spirit, and hopefully this show will just demonstrate just how much we do have that spirit. Because, folks, if we go the other route and do like a lot of families all across the planet, they're so divisive and jealousy and this and that, then ain't nothing ever going to happen. And, you know, that's not good. You can't be strong. You won't be a strong family like that. So y'all need me to tell y'all nothing. Some of y'all know circles around what I'm talking about. So, again, this show, Booker Douglas Family and Friend News and Information Line. I know that's a long one, but it's a long purpose. Booker Douglas Family and Friends News and Information Line. This is nothing more than a news and information line. Call, drop off a quick message. Call, drop off a quick message, and stay for the stay for the information on the spotlight, where you get to hear hopefully Ain't Naomi and Ain't Robbie just speak whatever. I know they have something to say, for real, something to say, and we'll give them as much time as they need. Just let them, you know, put the spotlight on them and you let them just say. It's hopefully going to be uplifting and encouraging, because that's what this show is all about. Nothing else. All that other drama, this show is not designed for it. Okay? I feel like this, if we have any other kind of information to share, people need to get on the phone lines and call each other about that. But this show is just simply news and information. It's so big, family so big. And I know I'm repeating it, but I want the purpose. I want this show to, if we don't do nothing else, nail down specifically what Seth is trying to accomplish. You know, I hope and pray that, you know, I know Donald Jr. had mentioned he wanted to be involved, but hopefully he'll host the next show. And maybe, you know, somebody else in the family will step up and hope to show up to that. Okay, so we got to do it, though. We got to do it. But here's some other things I want to mention, some other ideas to y'all. And I want y'all, after you listen to the show, to call or either post a message on the show's page, the same page you're listening to the show on. There should be a comment portion at the bottom. Post a comment saying, hey, I like this idea, let's do that, let's do this. I heard you say that, let's not do that. That's not, I don't think it's a good idea. Or you can send me an email address. So, an email. So, folks, you got to talk to me. You got to let me know what you like, what you dislike, in a good spirit. Encourage folks. We need encouragement. I don't need you calling me, telling me everything wrong with the show, which I know y'all not going to do that, but I'm just putting it out there. I want everybody to be, you know, very respectful to each other. Just let me know. I think it's a good show. We need to do more of this, more of that. But this is a call right now, before I forget again, to get each and every musician we have out there to please, please call in and give us your audios and video clips where we can, where everybody can hear of you. I mean, what better way to sit there with your cell phone on speaker, there at work, driving down the road, and listen to your cousins? And you'll know where their next gig at, if they're, you know, gigging. You'll know what they're doing. What better way? I cannot think of a better way. So if y'all got a better way where we can communicate other than a blog, let me know. Email is good, but you don't hear each other's voice. You don't hear each other what's going on. We can cover so much ground with a blog. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some other things I'd like to see done, and then we're going to go on and listen to this audio clip by Dorothy Jean. Again, she couldn't make it tonight. She have church on Sundays. So hopefully one of these Sundays or some kind of way we can get her in. And I know Aunt Robbie, I don't know if she and Aunt Naomi, what they do on Sunday nights, but hopefully they can get involved too, and as well as Dwight, as well as Verna Mae, okay? I know these are busy folk, but hopefully they can stop by the show on Sunday nights, 9 to 11 Central Standard Time, okay? But here's some more ideas I want y'all to comment on later. I want you to comment on later. Let me know, yeah, I like that. No, I don't like that. But also, I wanted to have it to where we can post some links. You know, I want y'all to start in the future. Again, this is the first show, and I got to say stuff like this because the first show, unfortunately, has to be the show where you put this out because it's the first show. But I want y'all to start putting links within the chat page. There is a chatting, but if you look down the page, you should see a box for chatting. You can post links in there of your websites. Now, it might get a little, after a while, when we get lots of people doing this, it can get congested, but still, will know where you're at with your business, you know, your links, even maybe Facebook links, and maybe not Facebook, but some of y'all have businesses. You can post those links in this chat room, this chat box, okay? That's another idea I had. That way you can get exposure. And while you're listening to the show, you can, you know, if Blog Talk have it to where while you're listening to the show, you can literally click on that link and take you to that page, and you can be looking at your brothers and cousins and uncles' business while you are listening to the show. All right? Now, this history thing we do that Dorothy Jean did with the audio clip, every single week I would like to do some family, you know, versus what she actually did. She went started with the very with our great grandfather. She went that far back and named all the kids up to date. And it might get a little, what's the word I'm looking for, monotonous. I mean, she's just going with all these names. Kind of sound like the Begats in the Bible, actually, but she makes it a little fun. But, you know, that's a big family. So I'm thinking in the future maybe we can break down and just talk about just maybe, you know, Irene kids and who's all born in the Irene's umbrella. And then another week talk about who all's born, because there's a lot of people born in Naomi's family, you know. And it's different people, you know, folks get married, who they're married to, a little bit about, just a little bit about everybody. Not the whole show, but maybe 15, 20 minutes about, you know, Aunt Naomi, Aunt Robbie's, who they, what kids are, who the, you know, children are, to where when we see each other, we'll know. And there is a way on this blog where I post pictures. So let's say next week, maybe not next week, because next week I'm actually going to hopefully play Dr. Jeans again, because we got to know who the big family is. But after that, eventually we're going to start breaking this down to different aunts and uncles. But when we do, I can post photos of that particular family. We got 5 boxes to put pictures, and I can split the box and make it out of 10. So that way, when y'all listening to me in 3 weeks or whoever's hosting the show, you see this little slideshow on the screen. Like right now, there's a picture of who is this? There's Dwight, Verna Mae, Aunt Naomi, Aunt Robbie, and Kayla. Well, and you know, and those are the main, except Donna. She's not a elder per se. I mean, you know, it's not as far as being as elite kids, but she is, you know, I'm just saying in the future we can take like Aunt Robbie, let's say, and just chop this half in this box up, make it, you know, and put 2 pictures on 1 box, and it gives you 5 more boxes. This is only just one I use this time, but there's actually 5 slides, and I can put pictures. And so now when we highlight and talk about whoever, we can see as I talk about them on the show, y'all can say, oh, that's who that is. Folks, if we do that every single week, being 52 weeks out of the year, do y'all have any idea how well y'all get to know? And I know some of y'all saying, we'll need to do that because we know everybody. You might know everybody's face, but do you know that they got perfect attendance last week? Do you know that they got, you know, they won the spelling bee? This stuff is important. So for kids to look at a blog and see their name and hear somebody hosting the show talking about them, that's a good thing. So, like I said, I believe the Most High answers prayers. And I've been really trying to figure out how can we come together more and hook up each and talk to each other more. And I think this blog is just the bomb. That's what I think. Some of y'all may agree with that, or maybe you might even disagree with it. But if you do disagree, let me know what we can do better, and we can do that too, okay? So, having said that, let me do something. Let's try to cue up this audio from Dorothy Jean, where she is talking about the family, the great family of Gabriel and Hester Booker, okay? So if y'all can just hold on 1 second and let me cue this up, it'd be wonderful. Just 1 second, please. And by the way, sometimes when you deal with these shows, there's technical difficulty. We have a rule. I have a rule when I do blogs. If I get disconnected. Just know the show is 2 hours, so if it ain't 11 o'clock, I'm not done. So just stay on the line, or in some cases, if you get disconnected, call back, okay? So. Just one to hook this up.
Fanny was born December the 12th, 1884, and she passed January the 28th, 1970. Mother always referred to her as passing when she was 12. She lost her mother at the age of 12, and my mother was Leola Jones. Okay, and Gabriel and Hester. First child was Julia Luca Mitchell. And Julia Luca Mitchell had four children. Hester, and they called her Sweetie. She was Emmanuel. Luella Smith, Sarah Francis, and Cinderella, and they called her Tiny. Four. Okay. Now, if I can get off into Julia's Booker's family, which is her first child was Hester. And Hester Manuel had 12 children. And they used a lot of nicknames then. And one child was named C.L. Manuel. And C.L. had three children, Melvin, Alfred, and Charles, and then Bill Manuel, Eli Manuel, okay, Elijah Manuel, U.S. Manuel, and they call him Doogie, Cricket Manuel, and Doll Manuel, and Mama, it was another child after Doll, and my mother, Leola Booker Jones, couldn't remember her name. Then there was Cheech Manuel. Then there was Julia Manuel, Thelma Manuel, and Howard Manuel, and Hessel Lee Manuel. And I understand that the Manuels still having a family reunion on the second Sunday in June, or the second weekend of June, down home in Lexington. So I think Robbie Slaughter trying to make it, get in touch with him. Anybody want to be a part of the Manuel reunion, can get with Brenna Mae Hilton, and she will be able to get in touch. George, one named Sutton, she had one named Judith, and she had a child named Alonia Robinson. And Cinderella, known as Tiny Boy, had a child named Wanya. My sister was named Wanya. After Moore. And had another daughter named Samaria. And the Legion and the Freeman and the Manuel out of Rockville. And there's still a lot of Freemans in Rockville that we don't know. And I imagine if we could go to the family reunion is usually a lot of they are all located in Lee County, so if you pull up the family reunion thing on the internet, we're all located in Lee County. Okay, and I want to go to Mary Jane Booker, which is one of Gable and Hester's children. And they had one child. Her name is Ola Johnson. And then Lina Booker was another daughter. She had four children. One was named Marietta Jackson. Addie McKinney, Aquila Love Lady, Texana, Bailey, Baylor. And I think this is where Bobby Baylor comes in, through his family, with Mary Jane Booker Johnson. And then Marietta had two sons, T.H. Jackson and Tommy Jackson. But they lived in Aston, and they're both, but they lived in San Francisco. And Lana's daughter, Annie,
Eric Lowe.
and Eric and Vince Lowe. And Drick Lowe? Okay. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 children. All right, that's all of Robin's children. And I don't have all of her grandchildren. But those are the few that I have. And me only, the next child. And her birthday is March the 1st, the same as my grandfather, Eli. She was born in 1935. She had a daughter named Linda. Linda had two children, Danica, Danikia, and Chris. And I don't have Tina's children's name. I've got question marks on it. And Rola. I don't have his child. Then we have Irene Booker, Ryan. And I do have an update on her. Darling. Irene, the oldest one's named Donna, and Natasha. Okay, Natasha and Donna, Donna had 1, 2, 3. I can't pronounce these names. It's G-I-A, Gianna.
Charles and Caleb.
Verna, I had Calvin, Kevin, Charity, okay, and Caleb. Okay, and Alfred, Sam, Ted, Tara, Esty, or Put. Anybody know about Put? All right. And he had four children? Tara. I got it. Terrence, Terrell, Misha, and then Alfred. Put has a junior. Oh. All right. And then Gerald. Okay, that's all I have for Irene kids right now. If I missed anybody, y'all give me a call and I'll put them on their list. Okay. Now, Irene, I had Naomi, Irene. Caleb had one son, and then Caleb Jr. Caleb, I don't know whether they said the second, what they call him, he has one son, Caleb. Then Emma Jean, Luca had, Alma Shaba had two children, Montrese and McGill. And then Verna May had one son. Byron. Okay, and then, Byron Keith. Okay, and then Roderick. Wayne Zucker. And Roderick had one daughter. And, that's all I have for Caleb's children. And then, I said, I don't know, Levi. Oh, okay, Leroy Brooker. I have him, Danny, but Leroy is Mama's brother, and I became a step brother. They call him Bill, and that's who Leroy is. He was born in 1912, and he passed in 1934. He was a young man. Okay. Now, let's go back to Leola Booker Jones' children. No, I'm about to give out on this. But let me just name Leola Jones' children, and maybe on the next show, we'll do some more grandkids and great-grandkids and some more of the other children. But Leola Jones had... No, I did her children. I won't do her grandchildren this time. I'll do her grandchildren, Leola Jones. That'll be a good thing. We'll do grandkids next time. And may God bless each of you, and hope you enjoy looking up in history of the family. Because it is very interesting, and maybe we'll run off some copies, and you can run it off of the internet when Seth gets through, and just have a good time with those names. And God bless. Talk to you soon. My name is Dorothy.
Okay, and that is just a sample of just one of the things we was going to talk about. One of the things we was, bear with me, let me just starting over here. Let me just stop this here, starting over. Okay. Anyway, but that was Dorothy Jean just talking about a few of the family members and who's related to whom. Hopefully y'all understood it. I kind of had to jimmy rig it because I had it on my phone and couldn't get it digital. But anyway, hopefully y'all heard everything. What I'm going to try to do is take that information and post it on a website, on my website, and we got a question. I'll get your question here in a second. Area code 817-378. So anyway, that was Dorothy Jean. And she was just going over the feminists because, like I said, we can't have a blog that would make any sense if nobody know who, if you don't know who each other is. So, anyway, before I get this question, somebody's called with a question. But before I grab that line, let me just say, if you couldn't hear in the chat room, let me know. Or if you're on the phone lines and you can't hear, just press 1. Remember, if you press 1 on the phone lines, and this is the way we can get a hold of you and we can hear you. But let me go ahead and see who this is. Error code 817378. Welcome to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends News and Information Line. Who am I speaking with? Who do I have on the line here? 817378, go right ahead. You're on the line. You're on the air. We can hear you.
This is Uncle Bud.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
You tricked me with this phone number you called in. You gave me a different phone number earlier. What did you think of that presentation from Dorothy Jean? Could you hear it okay?
I only heard the last few minutes of it, about the last 10 minutes of it.
Really?
Because I've been looking on my, I still can't find you on my computer live. You know, I just dialed it.
No. You won't find me live. You have to get a link. You have to, that's okay. You have got to go to my, I have to send a link to you, Uncle Bud. But that's okay. You've listened to me before. We'll talk about that. But anyway, folks, like I said earlier, Uncle Bud is going to be the spotlighted individual for the show tonight. We have exactly 45 minutes left, and I'm going to give these 45 minutes to him, to spotlight him. Hopefully, I apologize for the whole clip with Dorothy Jean. I kind of took a chance on that. Sometimes you can hear, sometimes you can't. But when you're dealing with digital, you got to have it right. And so, anyway, but Uncle Bud is here, and this is for many of us. For those of you who don't know who Kayla Booker is, our grandmother, Irene's mother, and Robbie's mother, Brother May's mother, and Naomi's mother, his mother, and Dwight's mother is Azalee Booker, married to Kayla Booker, okay? So this is their oldest son, Kayla Booker. I'm going to let him tell you whatever he want to talk to you about. I may ask him some questions, maybe not. Just we'll let him flow. And just share with Uncle Bud, just share whatever's on your heart. We're going to do this every single week. We're going to spotlight somebody. And I've been talking about earlier, I don't know if you heard, was able to listen, but I was talking about different things we're going to try to do on the show. When it's the first show, you kind of have to bore the people with all these things you want to do because it's the first show. Then after that, hopefully people call in and saying, hey, I got a birthday wish, or this is somebody's anniversary, want to wish such and such a happy anniversary, or we got a party over here to represent this, or we got a meeting, a family meeting, or I just want to get this out to the family to remind everybody, blah, 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 or we got sick and shut in. Everybody go by and visit so-and-so, or we have a prayer request. Everybody remember in prayer, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then we got some people, Uncle Bud, that has businesses. This is just a few of the things we're trying to do with this blog. It's just a time I'm hoping where everybody come together. And even if you can't be on with the live show, Uncle Bud, they can still log in to what I call an archive. We have an archive. The show is recorded. You can listen to it a month from now. So all that stuff Dr. Jean was talking about with the lineage, they can actually hear that again. And if they want to know who's related to it, they can always go back. Because, you know, there's some family members that are saying, well, how we related, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you can actually do it. Now you can actually call and find out these things. So that's what it's all about. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor. Just share whatever you like from who you are. And like I said, you was waiting just for a little bit doing your thing up in California. And I just, if you want to talk a little bit about that, that's fine. You want to talk a little bit about whatever's on your mind, but go right ahead.
All right. First of all, let me say that, I don't know how Dorothy Jean keep track of it, but I got so many nieces and nephews that when I get ready to sign my signature, I have to catch myself and stop me from saying, signing Uncle Bud.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but anyway, let me say this
about Dorothy. You're on the north side where they are.
Hmm?
you're on the north side where most of them are.
Yeah, but that's just that I'm so used to hearing like a bud, though. Whenever I would get ready to sign something, I start signing it Uncle Bud instead of writing Caleb Booker.
I got you. I understand.
So, at any rate, I just heard Dorothy Jean going through our family tree. And I must say this about Dorothy Jean. She's my favorite cousin.
Uh-oh, okay. You can get in trouble with that.
Yeah, she's my favorite cousin. And when we were teenagers through young adulthood, right? She was the only cousin I had that I wish was not my cousin. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was one of the finest women in the city of Fort Worth. You know?
Oh.
So I asked God why he had to make her my cousin, why he couldn't make her somebody else's cousin. But that's the way the cookies crumble. Anyway, she's still my favorite cousin. And so, okay. Now, let's see. Now, what you want me to tell the audience something about me?
Yeah, okay. Keep in mind, they'll be able to listen a month from now, 2 months from now. It's just a way, because, you know, sometimes, right now, someone says, well, I could care less who related. You might not care now, but every once in a while, we come across a time in our life where we want to know, well, who was Uncle Bud? What did he do? I mean, you know, so they just, it's just one of those, this is for those moments.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to tell you something about me.
Are you there? You're breaking up. Are you there? As y'all know, this happens with phone lines and the internet. Hopefully y'all can still hear me. So, anyway, Uncle Bud, if you can hear me right now, just call back, please, because we cannot hear you. We cannot hear you. So, again, this is what happens.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time. You are now in the host queue.
Okay. Uncle Bud, are you there?
Yeah,
but listen, I do these shows, and we get this all the time. So I told everybody earlier, if we get disconnected, if this show, if it ain't 11 o'clock, this show ain't off, call back. That's what everybody got to know. Call back or just wait on the line, so in most cases, you just have to wait on the line. But if you get disconnected for some reason, please call back. But go ahead with what you were saying.
Okay, I'm going to try to make this not too short, but I don't want to take up the whole night. Because if I start talking about me, I could probably take up a couple of weeks. But I'm just going to tell you, a little something that maybe most of my nieces and nephews don't know. Okay? And that is the way I was born. And I was born with a veil.
And with the veil?
A veil. Okay.
Wow.
You didn't know that. All right. Some people call it a veil. Some people call it a call. Okay. So what a veil is, it's a layer of skin that covers the baby's head completely. And it's patterned like the veil of a woman's veil when she's getting married, you see. And I was listening to Dr. Ray Hagin one day, and he didn't know what a veil was, and so he asked his audience, did anybody know what a veil was? And somebody said, oh, it's just a piece of a placenta that's hanging over the baby's head, right? Which is incorrect. because this is completely detached from the placenta and the baby's head. It just covers like a stocking cap down to the neck. So you can just pull it off like you would a stocking cap. And that is what my mother did. Now the reason and what she would do, she hung it over the entrance to the house, to the front door, so that anybody coming into the house would walk underneath this veil. All right?
Wait a minute. You said, let me make sure I got this right. You said that it was hung over what now?
The front door, the front entrance to the house.
This was skin,
you know,
right?
Like you hang a mistletoe at Christmas time over the entrance, over your front door.
Okay.
As you come into the house, you have this mistletoe hanging up there, right? Well, she had the veil hanging up there like a mistletoe, right? And so I figured that it veil would have to last a pretty good while for me to remember it. But I do remember I had to be about 3 years old, right? And most people say, well, you can't remember that far back, right? I can, because she made such a fuss over the veil. You know, and the veil was about me, so it kind of stuck in my mind that there was something that about me that everybody was making fuss of, right? So I asked her several times after I got older, what did that mean, being born with a veil? And she told me that it meant being able to see things other people can't see. Right. So I'm assuming that she probably meant being able to see things most people can't see. But the word comes from the old school, like it was passed down to her through our people as to what this veil meant. So they said that it means being able to see things other people can't see. But I see that as some most people can't see, because I've run into a lot of people that can see things I can't see, you know. So, at any rate, I assume that if that day comes, right, I'm not going to rush it, I'm not going to go in no special motion for it, you know. If that's my destiny, then I'll fulfill my destiny when the destiny comes time. So, but in the meantime, I was interested in what this veil meant. So I began to do a little research on the computer. And come to find out that this veil, back in our ancient ancestors' time, right, was the sign of a shaman, you see. Now,
shaman, I'm a little rusty. I'm familiar. I got a brain, what they call it. I want to say priest, but what is a shaman?
Okay, a shaman is, well, when the Christians came to Africa, they labeled the shaman witch doctor. Okay, but there's a difference between a witch doctor and a shaman. Okay, but the general idea is most people they've always labeled them as witch doctor. But there's a difference between a witch doctor and a shaman. The witch doctor deals with superstition, evil forces, you know, and doing evil things. Whereas the shaman, his only connection and concern is with the world of our ancestors. He's the medium between this world and the will of our ancestors. Shamanism predates religion. In other words, before that was religion, that was only shamanism. Religion grew out of shamanism. Okay? And that's why people get the term of ancestor worship. But it wasn't ancestor worship. It was just that they connected the world themselves to the world ancestors by way of the shaman. And the shaman was the most, was the second most powerful member of the tribe, followed by the chief. First that was the chief, next there was the shaman, as far as power was concerned. And religion came out of that with an attempt to, I guess, centralize shamanism, make it to where everybody, you know, anybody can be compatible with it. But that's what the veil was supposed to represent. When your baby was born back in that, those days, if he was born with a veil, that means he is a shaman, whether he want to be or not. Because he's going to grow up labeled a shaman. Now, there's only, I've asked a lot of questions. I always try to look for somebody that was born with a veil to talk to them about what, you know, what they heard about the veil, right? So far, I've only known of one person, one historical figure, that was supposed to have been born with a veil. And that historical figure is Nat Turner. Okay? Other than him, I don't know anybody that's born with a veil. I have not personally. I'm sure there are probably thousands.
Out of curiosity, where did you find out that about Nat Turner being born with a veil?
Oh, I was reading a book about Nat Turner. You know, was it's written by this guy, you know, that's got a lot of flaws because he, you know, a lot of flaws about Nat Turner because he has his own impression. But at the beginning of this book, he did mention the fact that Nat Turner was born with a veil. See, and in reading other people, I mean, reading about the history of Nat Turner, even on the computer, he noticed, you noticed that he was kind of, he was like a, he was a preacher, so to speak. And he always carried himself different from the rest of the people, the slaves. Okay? And if you can combine the two, you can probably see a lot of his behavior could be because he was born with a veil and certain things was expected of him. You know, as a slave, among the slaves, certain things was expected of him. So, therefore, he started the rebellion. And he was fighting to be free. Okay? A lot of people want to call Nat Turner just an evil man because he killed everybody. You know, everybody in the household. And but his theory behind that was, if you kill everybody, there won't be nobody left trying to hold revenge and come after you later on, you see. Now, some people will say, well, you know, that's unholy, ungodly, or whatever. But he was a preacher, and he was got a lot of the information from the Bible. And at any rate, that's only what I know that was wrong with a veil. I can go off into Nat Turner and his purpose and reasons, whatever. But,
Oh, you've done extensive study on Nat Turner because of that common thread?
Huh?
Because of that common thread y'all have? Y'all, you did a lot of research on him?
Because of the conversation?
Because of the commonness y'all have. The thing
in common.
You did a lot of research on him.
Well, I did some, not a lot, you know, but I did some on him and on shamanism altogether. But I read a few things about Nat Turner. And if you read about
him. You probably was going to do this anyway, but let me, because what we're doing is we're kind of getting off into the belief system. And that's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good, but, I mean, you the person, and if you feel like, hey, keep going in that vein, fine. I'm just saying, but I'm also itching to know just about you, the person. Like what happened? You know, you spent a lot of years in L.A. And I mean, I remember one time we was talking to him about some things you went experienced in the college. In a lot of people,
yeah. Well, see, all of this when I was in L.A. Not that the veil was doing it, but I lived such a lifestyle till I was always headed in a particular direction. You know? And it's had to do with...
So you feel like the L.A. experience was because was influenced by the veil?
Yeah. Well, the reason I say it's about the veil is because...
That's interesting. I didn't realize that. So what you're saying, just kind of making a little conversation here, you're saying that the whole L.A. experience had a lot to do with this veil.
Yeah, because a lot of times things happen in your life that will take you to different places for different reasons. You might not be aware of it, you see. Now, my trip to Los Angeles was following a woman. You know, my ego was like that, you know. And she had moved to Los Angeles, remarried and moved to Los Angeles. So I went to Los Angeles for that reason. Now, when I get to Los Angeles, I run into one of my old schoolmates from Fort Worth that's telling me about the GI Bill and going to, you know, college. I first started to go to college just for the money, so I used that GI money to make a start of. So in doing so, I had to pick a major. And so I majored in psychology, right? After I majored in psychology, then psychology started me to go in a particular direction. You see, I was a part of a special psychological program. I don't know if you remember, my mother had a picture of me when I was in this program. But it was a condensed program to try to make for the psychologist the same thing that the nurse is to the doctor. You know, the doctor's got a nurse, the dentist's got a dental helper or whatever, but the psychologist don't have a nurse or something that can assist him. So the program was to put together a condensed psychological program in 2 years that would enable us to get a degree called Psychological Services Curriculum and be able to be like a nurse to a psychologist in 2 years. So in taking that, that's when I start to move towards the reason why people behave in a certain way. Okay? And as a psychologist, you can't be prejudiced, right? And you can't be just because I may be a Christian, I can't, you know, in order for me to be effective, I cannot be nothing. I cannot be prejudiced towards one religion over another. Okay? So that just moved me further toward, you know, a particular point. Now, in doing so, I had to come up with, you know, create some kind of theories and stuff and do field work and things in my field of psychology. So I was moving toward the conclusion that in order to treat a patient, you know, you had to go through his belief system. You know, you have to include his belief system, which I couldn't see no psychologist doing at the time. You know, and I still can't. I can't see how you can treat a patient with a mental problem without understanding how he grew up and what he grew up to believe. What he lived by. See, a man lived by what he believes. What he believes. So if you go treat a patient, you got to understand what he believes.
Right.
And so therefore, that's the direction it moved me in. Okay, so I have to you know, as a free thinker, I got interested in where, you know, this came from. Because I always was puzzled about the veil, you know. And so that's how it goes back into what you may see a religious thing, you see. And how the veil had played a role in that. So that's why I said it's hard to talk about me without going through that, you know. But I thought I would share that a little bit about the veil and shamanism, because most people don't understand about a shaman. We still have the shamans today. But the next to the top shaman is what you might call a prophet. And this had nothing to do with religion in a sense, because to me, the most respected prophet that I know of and that I respect is a guy named Edgar Cayce. He was known as a sleeping prophet. So, but that's, you know, thing that interests me. As a result of, you know, the veil.
Did you say Edwin Cayce?
Edgar Cayce. You heard of him?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, he was I think he was back in the 20s. He was known as the sleeping prophet. He would go into a trance and tell you anything you want to know. You know, he would give doctors and advice on healing, treating certain diseases or what have you. He could give anybody some advice on whatever they want to hear about. So,
well, let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something, please.
Mm-hmm.
What year did you go to college? How old were you when you went to L.A.?
Okay, I graduated from Kirkpatrick in 1957. Okay, I didn't start going to college until 1967. I've been out of school 10 years when I started going to City College. That's the City College in Los Angeles. Now, when I was going to Kirkpatrick, it was all black high school. And the black population was growing. And everybody from the surrounding area, like the North Side, Lake Como, and Stop 6, all had to be bused to this one high school at the city, which was I.M. Terrell. So because the population was growing, so, and they realized that Terrell couldn't handle all these people coming in there, they decided to add a grade each year to these three schools until they became high school. So my class got caught in the 10th grade as seniors, just as they was about to add in the 9th grade. As seniors, they was about to add a grade each year. So that meant that when we was in the 9th grade, we were seniors because that's as far as the school went. Then when they had to grade the next year, the school went as far as the 10th grade. We were seniors again. The next year, they had the grade to it, and the school went as far as the 11th grade. We were seniors again.
I said, wow.
My class was seniors for 4 years. And we did all the senior activities except for get the diploma. For 4 years, we had 4 senior proms. We had the next big dance to the senior prom was called the Ranch Dance, and that carried the night of the
How old were you when you graduated?
17. Yeah, I was 17. And when I started going to City College, I was 27. And I had never sat in a classroom with a white person. I never had a white instructor, you know, because I didn't let the members of the class know that. But that was fact. When I first started, I really had to hustle. Well, I worked at Douglas Aircraft during the daytime, and I started going to City College at night, two nights a week. And when you go at night, you do 3 hours, you know, straight. So I figured it would be better for me to go in the daytime because those 3 hours would be split up into 3 days, you know. So anyway, I transferred on my job, switched my job from day to night. Then I started going to City College during the daytime. And that way I could kind of have a day in between each class, so I give me more time to read when I was up. So I made up my mind when I started going that I wasn't going to school to get a job because I already had a job. You know, I was going to school to learn. So you could graduate from City College with 60 units, okay? When I left City College, I had 90 units. So when I started going to Cal State, I just, you know, let them take whichever 60 they wanted to and left me with the other 30. There wasn't nothing I could do with it. But at least I felt comfortable. I didn't want to leave, you know, junior college, going to four-year school, unless I felt comfortable that I could handle the work. And when I first started...
What was your goal in going to college? I mean, you might have mentioned it, but I'm listening. I didn't quite hear it. What was your goal? I mean, what would you aspire to do with this degree?
Well, when I first started, right, I was just going to college so I could get the money for my GI Bill to help me with my car payment. Okay? So after I got started, I said, well, since I'm going, I may as well go try to learn something. You know? So I have to declare a major. And my wife, Lee, I was married to at the time, she had a lot of problems. You know, she wasn't just stone crazy, but she presented herself. She came to me. I thought she had a problem, and she did. After I'd gone to college for a while, I was able to pick it out. But after I started going to school, then I decided that I wanted to learn. And I wasn't going just to get a job. And so in my wanting to learn, especially in psychology, it put me on a certain path. So that's how I came to thinking about my veil and doing a little research on it and going through this religious thing because of it. That's why I get involved into this religious concept because of Veil being the sign of a shaman, and shamanism predating religion, and what shamanism stands for. So, because that's the only main distinguishing part of me that is different from most other people. I'll put it that way.
Let me kind of jump in here. Now, you have one son, Uncle Bud, right?
What?
You have one son, Juan, right?
One son, oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, did he pick up any of this? I mean, does he share the same?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he don't know. I don't know whether he know about the call. But I never told him, you know. Plus, my son and our relationship is kind of on a different basis.
So, does he know about the birth
the veil?
Yes.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know whether his mother even know. Well, I know I haven't talked to him about it.
He might find that interesting. He might find that interesting. That's not something you just look over.
Yeah.
Well, let me do this. Go ahead.
Would I reach a point where I can spend more time talking to him? Yeah. Because I'm under the impression that he's been told by somebody that it's best he don't hang around me. You know, because I'm the black sheep of the family. However, I am also the patriarch of the family. I'm the oldest living male on the Booker side and the Douglas side. So that makes me the patriarch of this family. But he was told by somebody. I understand that he was told by somebody that best he don't hang around me.
Well, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know how that went, but I don't know what's up with that. But let's just skip on that, and let me do this because we got literally 10 minutes to go,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want you to hang up and say, "Man, why didn't I talk about this?" So,
mm-hmm.
the last 10 minutes or 9 minutes and counting. Actually, I'm gonna play a little. About 9 minutes. We got 9 minutes. So, what else do we need to know about Uncle Bud? Something that you want the family to always know. Remember, you know, when they see you, think this, think that. Always know this about your brother. This is your uncle. Just like he just said, you are the oldest on the Booker side male. I didn't know that. Or the Douglas. I didn't know that. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait a minute now. So, EC, all of them on the Douglas side, none of them is your age? I know EC is past, but, I mean, none of those boys is older than you? They're still living?
No. The only one, the last one that was older than me was EC. See, Junior passed long before EC, even for Cassandra Boy. Yeah, Cassandra Boy passed. Then he see fast. So those were the only males on the Douglas side that was ahead of me. You know. And on the Booker side, I don't know if there was no males older than me. So right now there's no males that I know older than me. So that makes me the patriarch of this family.
Okay, well, let me just say this then. Being the oldest male on either the Booker or the Douglas side, what would you say to the males in the family, if any? What would you say to them? Yeah.
The males,
you know,
the reason why
I asked you that, let me tell you why I asked you that, because in a lot of the ancient civilizations, there was a lot to say from the oldest men to the younger men. I mean, and when I say young, I ain't talking about no teenagers. I'm talking about 20 and 30 and 40 also.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you have to say? What would you encourage them to do, say, think? I mean, you know, we're wrapping up time here. What would you say?
Well, compared to the ancient society, ancient culture, right, they discuss the daily events that went on in the lives of all the people in the tribe. And the males sit around all together and discuss what took place that day. So since we don't have that kind of situation, the only thing I can say to the male or anybody else as far as they go is that I saw a sign once at the senior center that I really liked and I adopted. And that was, "Don't die with your song left in you." Okay, sing your song, live your life, do something with it. Don't just sit around and think about living. Live. That's what I would tell anybody in my family, male. You know, don't just sit around thinking about doing something. You know, do something constructive. And that's living. To me, that you got to live. Otherwise, you're sitting around dreaming and talking and stuff, but, you know, that's not doing nothing. I have a couple of irons in the fire that I can't discuss over the air or can't discuss among a lot of people outside the family, most people outside the family, until I start them in motion. You know, and even then, a lot of that would have to be in somewhat of a secret, you know. But I have my plans that I'm trying to put together that I can't discuss over there, you know, like I say. But that's what I would say to all the males of my family, you know. Do something constructive. Don't just let your life pass by without you doing something. And the best thing to do is learn something. You know, try to learn something every day from somebody. You know, but that's to me, living is learning. Because if so a man think it, so is he. You know, and so you can think about something, but you got to do something with that thought for you to be that person. And that's about it. I mean, that's, you know, because I could go off into all kinds of details. Each individual is different, but as a group, I would just say that, you know, let them use that as a group slogan, you know. And that's what I like to see them do, you know. Lie to everybody else, but tell yourself the truth. Another thing I like them to know. You can lie about anything and everything, but tell yourself the truth. Be truthful with yourself, you know. And try to live your life, you know. Don't just let it pass you by. This might be the only time you come through it, you know. So make it a good shot. Take a good shot and live your life, you know. So I think that'll be about what I would leave them with. Because I could go on and on and on about other things, but just for that little bit of my life that maybe other members of my family didn't know. I don't know that for how many members of my family knew about the school thing, the all school thing, Kirkpatrick, being raised. See, we were raised during segregation. And we know all about segregation, sitting on the back of the bus and this, that, and the other, you know, and picking cotton. So you all don't know that, nothing about that, you know, but your grandmothers, they do, all of them, you know. I was there with them, so I know, you know, and so that, you know, there's something, you know, like as far as soul food and whatever, you know, this is all things that our ancestors went through. And I hate to hear people disregard their ancestors, you know, because if they hadn't been here, we wouldn't be here, you know. But a lot of them don't seem to realize that, you know. If it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't be here. So I think maybe, you know, I understand that certain parts of the world that no matter what profession you're in, especially I think in certain parts of China, that you go, you take the kids, the family, and you do work out in the fields sometimes, you know. Like with us, when we was coming up, my dad used to take a 2-week vacation, you know, and take us down in the country where Uncle Sonny Boy and them lived, and they lived on a little farm, right? We would all, like the boys and stuff, would sleep in the trucks, in the back of the truck. It was warm, you know, at night. And during the day, we would pick cotton and you know, just live pretty much like our ancestors did, you know, because my uncle and them were tenant farmers. That's got a history in itself. But we were a part of that, you know. And so, yeah, it's been kind of interesting, you know.
Let me do this, because normally at 2 hours we lose anybody that's listening over the Internet. So if you're listening over the Internet, we lose you right at 11. This show is... actually, I just got a warning, a little automatic warning, so it says I got 90 seconds. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over just a little bit because you kind of got wind up there at the end as we begin to talk more. So we'll run over about another 5 minutes. It'll let you run over some. So I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What you said what you would say to the men, being the oldest male on either the Douglas or the Booker side, what do you have to say to your sisters and anything good? Like of course, you know, the show is always upbeat, positive. I mean, just on and positive, what would you say to, you know, I try to think like, you know, you never know when it, I know you're not going nowhere, but I'm just saying, something I just like to know, just what my aunts and uncles have to say to each other on a good note, you know, because we don't see that much exchanging because everybody's so busy with their lives. But sometimes I'm sure a lot of my cousins and even nephews, nieces would like to see, because I hear how they want me and my brothers and sisters to get along. They like that. They like to see me and my brother dialogue, my, you know, nephews and nieces. They like to see. What would you say to your sisters and brothers, if anything? And then we'll just ask a couple more questions and wrap this up.
What do I have to say to my sisters and brothers? I just said that. Don't die with liberty song left in you. You know, do you understand that?
Right, right. Now, that was to the males in the family. I asked you.
Well, actually, that applied to both, you know, male
okay,
and
male. Okay, okay.
Anybody,
okay.
You know. But one thing I have to say about my nieces, right, and is so far, they seem to be doing quite well. As long as they stay away from drugs and don't fall for this male show whenever, if they don't know nothing. You know, because most of the brothers, most of the women that's on drugs were put on drugs by these men, right? So I won't say, you know, follow your man. Your man is, you know, do what your man says. Follow, you know, do what the wife is supposed to the husband and all that. If your husband's of no good, no character, no, you know, because all husbands don't make good husbands. They're not good men. But so far, all my nieces have been doing fine. You know, we don't have no, I don't have no nieces that's drug addicts, alcoholics, you know. Now, the males is a different story, but the females, my nieces, I'm so proud of the fact that none of them is involved in that. So, I don't have that big thing to worry about, because it's more to worry about when a woman is a drug addict than a man, you know.
But, okay. Let me ask you this, a couple more questions, then we'll wrap this up. You Democrat or Republican, independent, how you feel politically? What's your political stand on Obama? And just give me a quick nutshell of where you stand on everyday events with politics.
Well, I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm like... I've been a Democrat since I can remember Dwight Eisenhower.
Why?
Because it appears to me that Democrats is for helping the poor, you know, poor people, and the, you know, less fortunate people of society. Okay. Republicans seem to be more interested in the wealth and the rich. You know, to me. I can't see that 10% of the world population, of the money, the economy of the world, belong to 10% of people. You know.
That's true. That's true.
So
actually, it's true, and that's what this whole Occupy Wall Street is all about. They're upset because 1% of America owns most of the wealth. I think 1%. I know 10% own 80% of the wealth. I know that, and I think 1%
right.
Own like 60%. It's pretty pathetic.
And the cold part about that, is 70% of the wealth was inherited. it.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Because when they were trying to settle the West, the free population could come out West and claim as much land as the eye could see. The government gave it to them, right? But a slave couldn't do that, right? So all these people that came out with and got all this land had something to lead their ancestors, and they've been doing it ever since. You see, they've been building cities on their lands, big apartment complexes on their land. So their descendants have been benefiting from the settling of the West, the free land that was given to the West. But the slaves weren't allowed to do that. So the only thing they had to give to pass on was 40 acres and a hungry mule. You know? So we've been dealing with that. And we do have we have something to be proud of. We have something to be proud of. Because no other people in the history of the world have moved up from nothing to as many millionaires as we got in our race. Okay?
Let me ask you this. Name a few hobbies you do. That really, really, really you like. If I say name the top things you'd enjoy doing, just give me top five things. You just really, if you became a wealthy man tomorrow, you'll still do these things. What is it?
Well, a lot of things I would do, I wouldn't have to be a wealthy man.
I hear you on that.
Like I used to take flying lessons, you know, and they were really cheap. You know, I could take the money that I was spending on a Friday night getting drunk to pay for my flying lesson Saturday. You know, that's how cheap it was. And even today, compared to other hobbies and stuff, flying lessons is very inexpensive.
Did you fly?
Huh? I flew the single engine Cessna. You know, that's single engine. And
how long did you take flying lessons?
I took about 5 weekends. Yeah, about 5 weekends. And I belong to this flying club. See, the thing about this flying club is the first time you sit in the airplane, right, you take off. You're the one that's taking the plane up. You're the one that's flying the plane. Well, the instructor's sitting on the side of you. Well, he's telling you what to do, but you start the first day in the plane. You're flying. And every time you go, you fly first. You get the flying thing down. Get so many flying hours in before you go to ground school. See, a lot of schools, you go to ground lessons first. Then start taking a flying lesson. But this club was just the opposite, where you actually flew the fly, and then after so many hours, you go to ground school. But I like flying. And when I have the time, if I have to play a game, I prefer chess. And I like painting. I like art. So those are three main things.
Okay, so flying, painting,
chess.
And you chess play and chess.
Hmm?
As you like, you do those.
Yeah,
would
those
you, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know you like painting. I didn't know you was a painter.
Oh, yeah. I've been painting. We designed, you know, our Kilpatrick band uniform. You know, me and Arthur Warren that works over here at the Shallow parking lot. We designed those uniforms. You know. And,
oh, really? How did y'all end up designing Kirkpatrick? How did you get Kirkpatrick accepted?
Oh, because the members of our class, right, because we was the one going into junior high the next year, we had the opportunity to do everything we wanted high school to have. The school colors, I chose the school colors, which was purple and white, you know. As a matter of fact, I chose the mascot, which was Panther. But I understand they changed that to Wildcats, but not while I was there. Because I am terrible, got the Panthers now. But I did choose the school colors, and I was telling the guy just yesterday, all right, we had the majorettes. You know, we had some really good majorettes that used to go for state competition and so forth. And when we were here, out there at Farrington Field, I think, when we played football, with the two high schools, you know, when two high schools all could occupy, say, one half of that field, right? But the other half was occupied by white people. They could come to our game, but we couldn't go to theirs. So most of them would, pretty much one of their favorites, you know, because we had started to win it. And our majorettes were looking good out there on the field. So I was telling the guy just the other day, I said, you know what? It looks like the Cowboys organization was really copying off Kirkpatrick. See, they couldn't use purple and white. So they changed the purple to blue and white. In case you had
I don't know about that one. You might...
It may be a little far-fetched, okay? But another thing, the Dallas Cowboys is the first team that ever had the majorettes, okay? No other team had majorettes but the Cowboys. And I say that, too, is copying off of Kirkpatrick. They got that idea of Kirkpatrick because we had some tough majorettes. They played a big role in the football game. So I just mentioned, you know, it's a coincidence that the Cowboys is so closely aligned to Kirkpatrick. So
okay, let me ask you maybe one more question, then we'll wrap this up. Mentors, name them, please.
You know, I've never had one, you know, but I'll say this. I've never had a mentor, but one person that kind of helped me and I love to listen to and that I think is the smartest person I ever heard, you know. But he's not a mentor because I don't want to be like him. I mean, I'm not going to be him. I'm a free thinker too, you know. I've never seen nobody I want to be like. You know, I want to be me. And anyway, the closest thing to that would be Dr. Ray Hagin. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with him.
I'm very familiar with him.
Huh?
I'm very familiar with him.
Okay, and the guy you were telling me about that was on your show that you say when he talked, you wouldn't, you know, think that he would be that impressive, but I heard him on Ray Hagin show.
Joseph Johnson.
Who?
Joseph Johnson, the guy that sound like almost like a thug, until you keep listening, like, heck. You talking about the guy that was on the show a lot. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I heard
he don't
him
sound
Ray.
Like a thug, he just sound country.
Like country,
yeah,
right? But
like,
he's really sharp.
Yeah, he is.
Really
that's a different. I don't know. You know, he went to prison, and we're gonna wrap this show. But he went to prison. His granddad told him some things about World War. You know, about some things that's gonna happen in this country. And then he went on to prison. And in prison, you know, you get a whole lot of time to think. And I think with him just realizing who the government was, he didn't respect the government. It's probably why he wound up in prison because he just didn't have respect for authority. I don't know exactly his story that much, but anyway, I know one thing. He went to prison and started studying, and then colonels and high-ranking colonels find out about this guy's knowledge in the prison and went up there and saw him trying to recruit him. Every prison he went to, they was like, he's the man. He's the man with the knowledge. You know what's going on in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joseph Johnson, that brother right there is a different kind of brother. So you heard him on Ray Nagin's show?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I realized who you was talking about then. And, like I say, he's very, very sharp. You know, most of the people on that show are sharp. You know, Most of them is y'all. And so I listen to his show.
Well,
and,
well, listen, Uncle Bud, we done got a little bit off, which was a good off. I mean, because I like talking to that brother, and I enjoy having him on the show. But listen, I want to thank you. We're going to wrap this up. We're 13 minutes over, and if somebody's listening, they're probably going, okay, yeah, I'll wrap it up. I'm enjoying it. But hopefully from this interview, and this is not the last one, we'll probably – I would love to, if they want to work with me and allow me to interview them, I would love to interview Verna Mae, you know, her husband, and Robbie, and Naomi, Dwight, you know, and anybody else that we consider our elder, Dorothy Jean for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just anybody on her side of the family, just anybody that know this Booker Douglas family inside out, I would love to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, when you listen to the words and heed the wisdom of the wise, you know, you do very well, especially if they're giving you advice from the Most High. So, anyway, again, Mr. Caleb Booker, thank you for stopping by. Everybody, this, again, is the Booker Douglas Family and Friends News and Information Line. That's primarily what we do is news and information. Mm-hmm. But we spend the last half spotlighting an elder. Today, the first elder premiering the show was Caleb Booker. So I'm just glad you accepted the offer. I mean, because I'm very serious with this show. I really want it to be a success because this family is too big, and I really don't see no other way we're going to succeed mm-hmm. as far as getting to know each other without something just like this. You got to take it to another level. These little family banquets and they're good. They have its parts. They have its glory. But we see each other. We eat. We don't say two words to each other. And we leave. See each other at little church functions.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, pray, you know, and it's good. That's really good because you're praising the Most High. You're learning stuff. But we just don't know each other. And maybe mm-hmm. some people think we don't need to know each other. But I just figure a family that stays together is going to be strong. Or people that know each other. I mean, there's too many people that need each other. You know how many people, like, for instance, my son needs a car. There's probably somebody in his family got a car sitting over there and would have been glad to accept our money and instead of, you know what I'm saying, just all kind of stuff that we have. We have what we need, but it's just we don't have the communication to even help each other. And I hate that. I just hate it. So hopefully this show will be a success.
But I have a plan for that. I have a plan where we can all work together. And I label it, even before I get it started, as a quiet storm. Anyway, when I start working on this, I've always started picking certain people for certain positions. You know. But anyway, we'll be working together. So.
All right. Well, listen, Go ahead.
I'll be talking with you later.
All right. I appreciate you, and thank you again for sharing information. I learned a lot about you. I know I did, and I'm sure others did. And don't forget the archive. People will be listening to this show. They can probably for the next year. It's on the archive. It's recorded right now as we speak. So it'll be I'll give you the website later. You can, if you want to, just check it out later in the future. You can listen to yourself or something, okay? All right. Well, thanks again for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night. Everybody, that was Uncle Bud, Azalee and Caleb Booker's oldest son. And he said he's the oldest son on the Douglas side and on the Booker side. So there you have it. I enjoyed talking to him. Enjoyed listening to the clip from Dorothy Jean talking about the family. I know y'all can hear that clear, but I couldn't. I'm going to try to get a better rendering of that for the future. And we got other things coming just like that. You know, we're going to do more and more and more. Hopefully next week we're going to have some of y'all calling in and, again, wishing people happy birthday anniversaries, announcing house parties, meetings, sick and shut-in, prayer requests, business, advertisements. Anybody want to promote their business is more than welcome. And next week, we're going to have another spotlight on another elder, so don't miss it. We'll talk to you later. Thank you for joining.
Check it out, y'all. I'm tired and I want to give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why is the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now. If you're a survivor, get up. Let's get it.
Breathe.
Your life ain't over.